So again, this is Robert Guerra for CWG RFP4. It's 5 past the hour, and I'll be starting the call now. In terms of an agenda, unless there's any comments, there are kind of three main things that I want to discuss and go through. One is a review of the items, the tasks, and the next steps from the last call, which I'll have listed in the next slide. A series of updates, which will include a very quick presentation for me in terms of reading through the transition implication sections of the other communities' proposals to the ANA stewardship, so we can just have a sense of what the other two communities have prepared. And then we'll go through and updates from the different work streams. We'll start with 3, 2, and then 1, so in the reverse order that's mentioned in the agenda, and then do a review and talk about next steps, including the next call. In terms of the review of the previous call, we'll go through these items and then ask for updates from staff and others. And these are taken from the minutes of the last call. Olivier, we had a conversation with him in regards to the ALAC and in regards to their alternate proposal and timeline and additional timeline details that would be added to their proposal. Olivier, I see you're on the call now. I'm curious if you have an update for us in regards to the additional details that we discussed on the last call. Floor is yours. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Robert. It's Olivier Capanablanc speaking, and there is no update at the moment, I'm afraid, on the timeline. We've got work on that, and hopefully in early January we'll be able to come back with a timeline. With regards to further details on our proposal, we're still discussing these, and as you know, at the moment being the holiday break, it's a little difficult, and we haven't got any conference calls set up this week due to the lack of staff for this. But I would suspect that the next call, I think, is on the 5th of January, and from there we'll be working on this. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Olivier. In regards to the next point, which was in the last call, which was a call for volunteers, I believe that was circulated. Were there any volunteers that were identified to elaborate some of the additional tasks?
Hi, Robert. This is Grace. There were no additional volunteers identified.
Great. Thank you. Sorry.
I was going to suggest perhaps because it was during the a holiday week for many, maybe to recirculate the call for this week coming or maybe the first week of January.
That's an excellent idea. We'll probably do it in both periods as well. So we'll do that in the review part towards the end of the call. The other item that was there as well, too, which was in regards to the task list in terms of providing additional details on tasks that, for the different components of RFP3 to be created. There is a call for all the participants in the call to submit additional details to break down those additional tasks. I've reviewed the comments on the mailing list over the last week and haven't seen anything, so I would add that also to a pending item to also have an update on the next call. In terms of the next two items, I've had conversations with the co-chair of SIVA in regards to ways to aggregate the threats and the risks lists. And I'll be presenting that later. That's one of the attachments that you should have received in the email if you're on the RFP4 mailing list. If you're not, if you didn't receive the document, please let Grace and I know so we can make sure you're on the mailing list. And then some additional categories of risks and stress items, which we'll get to in one of the next slides. In terms of updates, I thought it useful since the other communities have prepared some of their submissions, either complete submissions or some of the draft submissions, to see what they have included in their RFP4 section, perhaps to guide us or to give us some details on what they, how we may want to complement that. So I'll be presenting the IETF and the ones from the RIRs as well. In regards to the IETF, the transitions implication draft that they have for comment, they mentioned that no structural changes are required for the handling of the protocol parameters, that no services are expected to change, and that no new technical or operational methods are proposed, and that there will be ongoing conversations and dialogue to spot any unforeseen issues. So it's probably the easiest of the transition implications from the different communities. That's from the IETF. In regards from the RIRs, or the Consolidated RIR IANA Stewardship Proposal, or also known as CRISP, there is a bit more text in regards to how they structure their comments in regards to their RFP4, and I'll have, I believe, two slides in regards to this. First, they have a section that describes the intent in terms of what they are proposing, and it's posted on the screen now, which is to minimize the risks and to try to use existing frameworks that they may have and try to use those. And they're basically, I've tried to summarize four kind of main points that they try to make, is that using existing arrangements and not necessarily to have new ones, and a shift from having the NTIA being responsible to use the NRO Executive Council, which is an existing structure that the RIRs have, building again on an existing system that they have. And it is mentioned in their proposal that they believe that this agreement can be established well before the NTIA target date, and no service level changes or reporting is being proposed. So they have an existing structure that makes it easy for a transition to take place. Are there any participants on the call that wish to comment on either the IETF or the CRISP proposal as they're out there? Maybe provide a bit more nuance than I was able to summarize. Maybe RVO Yop, would you like to make any comments at this time on those other communities' proposals? Not hearing any comments, I'll advance to the next section, and we can come back to that later. In regards to work streams, as I mentioned, we'll go through an update on work stream 3, 2, and 1. And the reason we're starting with work stream 3, which was a discussion that we had on our last call in regards to the scenario testing or the risks and how they could be aggregated. And we discussed in our last call that it might be worthwhile to review a creative stress table to walk through them to see whether they're relevant or not to our RFP4 discussions. That way we have a list that we could go forward, and I propose that we will do that shortly. And also in our last call we talked about not only that, but also identifying the critical periods, list of key periods where their proposal should be tested and how that could occur. I'm sorry, let's go back here and just check here. So if we could just, staff, if we could now go to the document that SIVA develops, please. And what I propose is that we go through for each of the different risks that are identified, try to categorize whether the risks that are numbered on the slide, see if any additional risks, threats or threats should be added, and whether they're relevant to our discussions now, possibly maybe relevant and could be discussed at a later date, or should be excluded in our conversation going forward. Steve, unfortunately, who developed this document can't make our call today, and so I'd just like to go through with the group here and try to get the group to try to allocate each different risk in a different category. In regards to risk number one, I'd like to hear what folks think in terms of whether it's relevant to our conversations in RFP4, whether it's indirect or not relevant. This is for the cancellation of the affirmation of commitments. Is this something that we should discuss or put as a list of possible threats for RFP4? Anyone wish to comment on this? Stefan, please go ahead.
Thank you. Well, I just want to say I think this is a good approach, and hopefully we won't have to use all of these squares, but this is a good starting point in a gross approach, so to say.
Great. Well, I have you. Are there specific stress scenarios that you think are most relevant to our conversation? Could you just cite those, please?
I haven't looked into it too narrowly yet, but I wouldn't go on that yet, but it's,
okay.
It's a good approach at least.
Great, thank you so very much. Any others? Perhaps my colleague on the SAC, Yop, do you have any thoughts on which of the stress scenarios are more relevant to our conversation for RFP4? Yop, go ahead.
Yes, well, as I had said earlier on, which is a couple of meetings ago, the problem with with this list is that, with a lot of things on this list is that this is, all these things are true. A lot of these things are actually relevant. Whether there is a transition or not. Or as we always say, there is no measurement of these risks at all. There is no It's very hard to get a lot of these things into the in the transition discussion because a lot of things which are brought up here might be a risk whether there's this stewardship transitions or not.
Great. Yeah, thanks for your comment. So I'm assuming then if you wanted to go with a very narrow one, I guess the one that is mentioned in the ESSAC advisory stress or scenario number 11, keeping it to a very narrow and focused would be better than having a more elaborate list at this moment in time?
Not specifically on whatever SAC is saying, but especially which is relevant to the transition. What does change in a transition, which makes it a risk above whatever it's there already? We can have a long discussion about all the risk associated with things that might fail or might not fail and so on, but that's indeed way too wide. We really have to focus on what makes it the transition different into whatever existence risks there are.
Great. Thank you so much. Can I get a comment from someone else on this aspect? Aubrey, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Aubrey. Assuming I can be heard. It is specific to the transition. For example, within the transition, we are not sure that somebody is going to continue with the NTIA final check process. So that might be a place where if we don't, you know, institute a NTIA style final, all the boxes been checked last check, is there a risk of illegitimate changes or considered changes or something like that? That might be more in the nature of risks that we incur, and I don't know if I saw it in there, risks that we incur that are new in the transition. Cancellation of the AOC does seem like it is a general one, but it's also very specific in this case also, I'd say, because it is the NTIA relationship. So it's to the degree to which it's bundled in that, it would be, relevant. Like to avoid jurisdiction, this is just sort of responding to Dop's comments as I'm thinking about it, is NTIA has required that it be in the U.S. Is there any problem with it not being in the U.S.? So it's not necessarily flight to avoid jurisdiction, but is the risk in change of jurisdiction? Because that's something that does change in the absence of the NTIA. And I haven't gone through all of them. Some of them I don't see, you know, ignoring SEC, DAC, XXX, et cetera. Those are policy issues that then result in something. But the NTIA coming or going doesn't seem to me to make a great deal of difference. And so perhaps subjecting each one to that kind of test might meet Jeff's, you know, consideration. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Aubrey, in regards to those two points. An additional point that was mentioned in earlier conversation today, I'm curious what people think in terms of adding an additional step, which is the process through the new mechanisms takes too long and becomes far more contested and far less timely than it is now. So a timeliness issue where a new system takes far longer to implement changes to IANA. Is that an operational risk issue that we should add to this list?
It's hard to imagine that things would take longer with NTIA out of the loop.
Great. That's Steve. Thank you. This is the list. What I will ask is, as I mentioned on the last call, for folks, please to go through this. What I would like to do is to make sure that if there's some additional items or sources of stress scenarios that should be added, that we add them to the list. And then trying to make sure that we either include them as items that should be included in the RFP4 conversation or not. And I think, Aubrey, what you mentioned in terms of technical administrative checks and that being removed and problems for jurisdictional change being added. And if folks like Yap and others believe that there are technical security items and just keep to that list, then definitely have the other items not necessarily being relevant to the conversation at this time. Before I proceed, are there other comments that folks wish to make at this time? we could go back to the extreme.
Robert, it's Olivier.
Olivier, please go ahead.
Yeah, Robert, I've got my hand up. I don't know whether you can you see it or.
I could not see it. I can't see it now. Please go ahead.
Very strange. Okay, I'll have to check my machine. Just looking back at this document, this table, I wonder whether we have in there the possibility that happened or that might have happened with U.S. courts or any court of law asking for redelegation without following those procedures. And I don't know whether that's not a class action against ICANN. That obviously is a court occurrence that asks for redelegation. I'm looking here specifically at what happened with the Iranian top-level domain, and I can't remember, was it North Korea as well, this sort of stuff. So that might be an interesting scenario to look at as well and find ways to mitigate this. Obviously, under the current regime, it would probably be that the transfer wouldn't take place, even if it was asked for by a court, because it wouldn't be following the right procedures. And so the NTIA would have been able to block this. At least that's my speculation of how things could have happened. But I don't know, without the NTIA, how that would have worked or not. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Olivier. Yeah, please go ahead.
Okay. But just as a reaction on Steve's remark about that there won't be delays if IANA drops out of the process. If I hear some of the discussions, it seems that some people want actually insert something in place of IANA, and that might actually make the process way longer. I mean, it depends, of course, on exactly how that is done, but that might actually be a risk that it will take way more time than it does now. And the same with, since it's not really sure how things like the contact call or the MTR is going to function, there's a risk that actually might change the current model quite heavily, and so the players will suddenly have a new situation.
Great, thank you for that, Yeah. I think related to I think to the stress test too, we discussed on the last calls as well too, and I'd like to get some feedback from folks here, and I think Olivier, you made reference to this, and what are the more critical periods where there should be perhaps more intensive testing being done, and I'd like to get a sense from those on the call when perhaps would when they believe that when these critical periods might be. One would be perhaps during the period where events where the systems are running in parallel, and there could be a handover from one system to the other. I'm just curious. We haven't necessarily defined this as much. Perhaps, Steve, if you wanted to make a comment in regards to what do you think the two or three most critical periods would be when we should be testing or looking at the system to make sure that it's stable and secure enough.
I'm not sure I have anything cogent to say. I'll give it some thought.
great. Do others, Yap or Avery, would you like to make a comment on what do you think the top two or three critical periods are from the transition we're testing and analysis should be taking place to make sure all is okay? With no comments, I'll leave this again for the conversation and also ask for those that are developing proposals, Olivier and others, that if there are some changes to the existing proposals that you're putting in for the ALAC and others to identify critical periods, that would be most helpful. I'll then switch to the next slide, which is an update on work stream number two, which is a text that was circulated on changes that would have to take place from the existing system going forward and transition path. Olivier, you mentioned that you were waiting to get an update. I also see that your hand is up. Please, Olivier, go ahead.
Thanks very much, Robert. It's Olivier speaking, and I apologize for being late from the previous slide, but I did supply the working group with a mind map of possible threats and mitigation for the different structures and bodies that were to be created. So we're looking here at CSC, MRT, IAP, etc. And I don't know whether I should be looking at transferring these into that table that we have referenced here, or is that out of scope?
I've not seen that document, so if you could send that again to the list, that would be great. And I think providing as much additional details, I think that type of illustration would be helpful as we move forward. Well, thank you for making that comment. Grace, please go ahead.
Okay.
Robert, I just want to confirm with Odidia that this was the document that he sent around to the list following the call in November, I think. Is that correct, Odidia?
Yeah, that's correct, Grace. Yeah, it was a while ago. But I never had any feedback on it, and that's why I wondered whether it was received or maybe it might have just been lost in the floods of emails that we've had.
Okay, yeah, so I'll make sure to forward that again to the list. I'll just re-forward your original email, if that's okay.
Great. Thank you for that reminder. Please,
I'll tell you what, Grace, it's Olivia speaking. I'll check if that diagram might have been updated. If it has, I'll send you an updated one. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Great. So for work stream number two, there was a document that was presented on the last call for folks to review and to comment in regards to changes from the proposal from RFP3. I'm curious if anyone has had an opportunity to take a look at that in regards to the list of changes, if they think it's fine, if there are any possible changes that are required. I see Olivier and Grace, do you both have your hands up? Are those new? Not? All right, great. And I wonder if you could put the document up, which was RFP4 Transition Implications Workstream 2, with the date of December 16th.
Robert, having a little bit of a delay uploading the document here. Give me one more minute.
Sure thing. Again, Grace, for uploading the document, and this is also emailed to the RFP4 mailing list. Again, this is going through the RFP3 proposal, describing all the key aspects of the existing arrangement and what some of the changes would need to take place for the RFP3 arrangements to be implemented. It is a very nuanced description, going through all the different roles and seeing what would need to be changed and some of the descriptions. You should all have that on your list. Everyone, Grace, thank you for mentioning everyone has scroll control. I would like to just get a sense of if folks have had an opportunity to take a look at this, and if so, if they suggest any revisions or changes in regards to this approach to go through the different aspects of RFP3. With no comments, I think one of the important things that we will see in tomorrow's call, which is the call of the full CWG, is the descriptions mentioned here are assuming the model and the text that was presented in the draft for community circulation, and depending on community comments and how are they seen in regards to agreeing with the model, suggesting changes, or making it leaner, this will have to be revised accordingly. But I just wanted to get a sense from the group if this listing of the changes is one that seems adequate, and if so, we can have as an action item going forward. So once we have a model for staff and for others to go through the description of the main sections and continue on using this approach. And that we would modify it accordingly, depending if the if CWG as a whole modifies its model. We get a sense. Or do we have any disagreements from the group in regards to going forward with that approach? With no disagreements, then I'll say that we have consensus going forward, is that is an approach that we can use going forward. Thank you so very much. If we could go back to the slide, please. We should be on slide 13, which is Workstream 1. Which was going through the existing ICANN technical proposal and trying to identify using the table of contents to see if there are specific terminology or key terms that were relevant for our conversations for RFP4 that was presented in our earlier call. I believe Siva sent a document for review and comments. No comments have yet been received. Siva, if you're on the call and I see that you are, would you like to make some comments either via voice if you can, or if not via text, to present some of the work and the document that you circulated in regards to this? Siva, please, over to you.
Robert, I have no comments at the moment.
Great. Did you receive any comments in regards to the text that you circulated about a week ago?
No, Robert, none.
Great. Can I get a sense from the group if Steve's text and the table of contents, if there are any disagreements with proceeding in that approach? Olivier Siva, I believe you mentioned that there were he had no comments and he had received no comments. Great. So with no comments in regards to Workstream 1 and no comments in the contrary, we seem to have an agreement to in terms of Workstream 2, how to describe the changes, and Workstream 1, I'll leave for the next few days if there's any comments in regards to key terms. So we seem to be going on track and agreeing on what was discussed. It is the holidays, though, so a more lively conversation perhaps will start up a little bit later. We go to the next call. The next slide here is in regards to if there's any comments from staff at this point in regards to sorry, Olivier, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. It's Olivier speaking. I realize I think I must be lagging or something. I put my hand up on the previous slide. I wonder whether within Workstream 1 there is this question of the current IANA, process, I think it's called, for any kind of transfer of stewardship from one organization to another and so on. There was a vague discussion that I remember that took place where there was a request to ICANN to find out what the process was for transfer, and the answer was one of saying that this was confidential. Has the request been made for a DIDP request been made for releasing those documents? And if it hasn't, then this needs to be done ASAP.
If I recall, we were talking about contingency planning and details that they might have in regards to that. Grace, I remember you replied to me. I'm curious if you could you could summarize your comments at that point. I see your hand is up. Grace, please go ahead.
Thank you, Robert. This is Grace Abu Hamid for the record. So, yes, Olivia, you're correct. I looked into whether the IANA contingency business continuity plan could have been released, and the response I received was that the document is confidential, but if anyone wanted to put in a document disclosure request, that you're welcome to do that. Unfortunately, staff is not going to be able to put that request in for you, that it has to come from the person requesting the information. And the reason just that the information is confidential more generally is just because it contains plans, you know, in cases of emergency or transfer, that kind of thing. So it's not the kind of document that would be public, you know, for security reasons and others. But you're welcome to put in a DIDP, and I can help you find the, you know, the form for that, things like that, but I can't put the request in on behalf of the group.
Great. So I'd be happy to do that as co-chair, so you could tell me what details you would need from me. And then I could maybe work with you and others to identify if there's perhaps a high-level table or high-level summary, and after looking at it, what could be revealed. So I'm happy to have that conversation offline with you and see if there's some additional details that can be provided to the group.
Thank you, Robert. Thanks, Robert. I'll note that as an action item for the two of us to follow up offline.
I'm just curious, Steve, that since you are on the call, if there's anything that you might be able to speak to about this point. So, Olivier, I'm just curious if you could maybe restate your earlier comments and see if Steve might be able to comment, even if it's at an incredibly high level. Olivier, please.
Yes. You're talking about the. You're asking me about the release of the contingency plan.
And a part of the contingency plan. I think it was discussed earlier that there's a part of the contingency plan that that there'd be a transition to another operator, Vianna. And that was something that
I don't recall that I've actually ever seen the document we're talking about here. NTIA has been rather tight with some of these, and amazingly has said, well, even the board shouldn't look at it. You can imagine my reaction to that.
Okay.
So I don't actually have anything to say, except that I wouldn't expect overly much from these things. They tend to be pretty obvious. I mean, if you're going to sit down and write a transition plan, you say, well, imagine that ICANN disappeared. How would you have a continuity for IANA? You know, you'd scribble down some ordinary things. And I'm just making this up as I'm talking here. I'm not reflecting on anything that I know about. There's been quite a bit of work, I know, on making IANA robust. So they've got redundancy and people in distributed places, and they run drills from time to time on using people who are not in Los Angeles, for example. So you imagine an earthquake or something. Plus, the other side of it is that the IANA function is not, millisecond type time critical. Imagine that you couldn't publish a change in the root zone for 2 days, 3 days, or a week. How bad would that be? And the answer in the scale of things would be pretty low key.
Great, thank you. Yap, you had your hand up, then Olivier.
Yes, I mean, I'm actually commented on the mailing list earlier on that I'm not sure what we should do with that information. Just as Steve was just saying, this is something NTIA asked ICANN to produce for the NTIA, and it apparently has been done because the evaluation of the contract since 2010 basically says it has been done. And I'm not sure what we can do with this information. That's what this is really, as far as I know, this is really some emergency things. And yes, the change of the root zone, which can be delayed a couple of times. It's basically similar as any Redis tree, which should have some emergency plan when things go really sour very quickly. And I'm not sure where this fits in the bigger scale of things.
Great. Thank you, Yap. Let me see the queue. Aubrey, you are next, and then Olivier.
Actually, Olivier is showing as next. I put my hand up, I took it down, and in the meantime, Olivier put his hand up, and then I put mine up again.
Okay, Olivier, please go ahead.
It's Olivier speaking. I'm ever so happy letting Avery speak first. Please, go ahead, Avery.
Okay, thanks. I think that, first of all, thank you for clarifying, because I was getting very confused whether this was an NTIA plan or an ICANN plan. Since it is an ICANN document, it is a document that should be open to the DIDP, so I suggest that we write one that requests that document. I find it interesting that, you know, the board may not even be aware of it, but it might be, you know, older and previous this board. So I definitely think it's worth getting. I think part of the reasons it's worth getting is in terms of us having to prepare such a contingency and to understand, knowing what NTIA found satisfactory would be a head start for us. So, you know, that's kind of why I think it's worth pursuing it. And especially with the lack of clarity about, you know, its existence, and we're assuming its existence because otherwise, you know, the contract would not have been given, we're assuming. I think getting it and just seeing how that all works and what the real requirements are, you know, it currently would be helpful. Thanks.
If I might, one thing that you said, Aubrey, caught my attention, the implicit assumption that it was satisfactory to NTI and therefore the assumption that it's satisfactory to NTI and therefore that it's a satisfactory plan. I think that if you imagine coming in fresh and saying, what work has been done, and the mere fact that it's been done before to satisfy NTI would not in itself seem to me to be a satisfactory criteria for accepting it.
It would be a clue. That's really what I'm saying. It's a clue. If something exists, getting a clue on what exists and what had been satisfactory is a place to start. It's useful information. Thanks.
Olivier, please go ahead.
Thanks, Robert. Olivier speaking. And I absolutely support what Avery has mentioned here. I think it would certainly give us a clue and help with the type of contingency to look for in any kind of transition. I do have concerns sometimes, though, about the so-called confidential documents that ICANN Legal seems to be putting in this inaccessible location, even inaccessible to the board. And I wonder whether in the DIDP, I know that when one requests for a DIDP, it actually appears to be an either all or nothing scenario in that, you know, you ask for the document to be made public, and then you can have a look at it, but it then becomes public completely. You might wish to look for a backup or a sort of a second scenario if the DIDP is for publication of this is not granted. Then you might wish to be able to, as the chair of this working group, have a look at it in a controlled situation. I don't know whether controlled, maybe you signing an NDA or something. So as for you to just look in there and see if there is anything that could be of help for it to be helpful for us. Or alternatively, another thing could be to have the document as a redacted document. But I'm really concerned at that point, if there is redaction taking place, that we would probably not be able to obtain that document in time. In fact, altogether, I am concerned that it might take weeks for this to be addressed, and I'm hoping it won't. I'm hoping this is just we're spending too much time on something which we should be able to just browse through and say, well, you know what, it's not helpful, and we're just going to cast it aside. So I hope we can do this quick, and as a trusted person, you could, Robert, you could be the pair of eyes that looks at them and either discards it or takes part of it and says, yeah, that's a good, it's a good helpful thing for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. As I mentioned a bit earlier, that I would work with Grace and perhaps others in staff to, A, determine if the document can be accessed. Two, if it could be revealed, and if not, are there key parts of the document, perhaps a table of contents that could be, or some other item. Someone who's done a FOIA request in the past, sometimes a slide or a table of contents is enough for our conversation. And what I'm hoping to do is just given that we have a very short timeline for this group and the information is critical to our conversation, so at least getting a sense of it, we'll see whether, you know, what type of arrangement could be done. And I think going back to an earlier comment as well, too, it might just be enough to say that they are, you know, that these contingencies are just for emergencies that might arise, and that may be an element that I don't think we had mentioned in terms of a transition implication, that there needs to be a development of emergency procedures in case there's failure during the transition, and that could be a point that could be borrowed exact from an existing from the existing process, and just make a point on that. So I'll work with Grace and the guidance of others and to see to what extent, and we'll hope that some information can be revealed. If not, just the name of the document and that it exists would be particularly helpful. And just from Grace, I'm just curious, just given the dates, when would be the first time that if such a request were to be submitted, I guess it wouldn't be until the first or the beginning of the year that work could begin on trying to develop the request document.
Robert, this is Grace for the record. So as you know, ICANN is officially closed from the 24th of December until January 2nd. So in terms of putting in a request, you could put one in any time, but I think the first time that, you know, it could be looked at would be January 5th. And then going from there, I can't speak to, and I don't really know the timeline for the DIPI process. I myself have never put in a request, and as I said, staff doesn't put in DIPI requests. It goes through the individual requesting the information. So, the timelines depend on the amount of information requested and other things. So, to answer your question, I'm not 100% sure, but you could indicate the urgency in the request, I think.
Thank you, Ava. You're making a good point on the chat that. The issue is one of timeliness and also drafting the DIDP, in that it may require a lawyer to get the language just right. And so we would have to figure out the best way to do that. So that may be something that I would definitely have an item to review for the next call, and I would say one of the items to mention in the update for our call tomorrow, that this is something that this this group is looking about, and that we may require perhaps one of the lawyers on this group or one of the lawyers in the larger CWG to help us develop the language accordingly, and that one of the first items that we would want to ask is what the timeline for possible answer would be. Great. Great. So just let me return back. I think we've had a good conversation on this. So let me return back to Workstream 1, which was the key terms. And if identifying the relevant terms that could be used in the proposal, if there was any update, Siva, we had this quick conversation earlier that you'd received no feedback. If you could send the document again to the list for review, a second review, and if there's no comments, we could proceed with the items that you have identified as key terms going forward. So let me just go to third and or the last segment of our conversation is in regards to going forward. In Grace, go ahead, please. Your hand is up.
Hi, Robert. I just wanted to acknowledge that SIVA has resent the document to the list and made his call for volunteers, so his action item there is complete, which is why I haven't noted it in the notes. He just sent it a few minutes ago.
Great. Thank you so very much. And what I have in terms of also some key items that we've talked about on this call was in work stream number 2, which was the how to describe the changes. There didn't seem to be any comments in regards to that, so that the text that was sent for circulation, that staff should review that, and if there's any additional items that need to be added, that those be flagged, and that document be included in the notes of the call for a round of comments, and that we would like to hear back from RFP3 in regards to any changes that occur to their proposal, so that document could be updated accordingly as well. I just want to get back one thing that just being here in terms of items that had been discussed in an earlier call was one of a timeline. Barry, you developed the timeline document. I believe I included that in the attachments as well. Barry, if you wanted to make any comment and update us if you'd received any comments in regards to the task list or the timeline document that you presented in our last call. Barry, please.
Thank you, Robert. This is Barry Cobb for the record. No comments have been received on it, and I think in terms of advancing this part of the fifth objective forward, it's really a true dependency on what ultimately comes out of RFP3 before we can nail down any more details to that timeline. But anyway, to answer your question, no comments at this point.
I'm just so thank you for that update. I'm just for those who may be new to the call, could you just please go over what the version 2 timeline was, which I believe was the more updated one, and how that was built from the task list that was developed?
Robert, they're both basically the same. One is an indication of working backwards from the September 30th date, while the second one is just more a month-to-month version, but both contain the same 12 tasks that are listed there, and then the difference or the details are the task lists themselves, which, again, restating from the last call, can probably use more detail should the CWG push this proposal forward in terms of details of setting up the contract co and the MRT and those kinds of things. So I think once we get better visibility out of RFP3, a lot of these subtasks for each of the four organizations would need to be built out further.
Great. And so another, I guess, call for volunteers to provide you with additional details.
I think we can, just kind of keep this as an open action, at least through the first week of January or so, again, until, or perhaps even after the intense weekend session on the 10th. The outcomes or output of that might further inform this exact task list and the possible timelines.
Great. Thank you. So again, if we could go back to the second last slide, please, which, again, just announces the next call as being on February 5th. And I just wanted to check the slide I have wrong. So I guess the time is 1600 UTC. Is that correct, Grace?
The time is scheduled for 1400 to 1600 UTC.
Great. So,
if you'd like me to change that, I'm happy to do that. There's some flexibility there.
Yeah, I just asked this for clarity that you should update the PowerPoint accordingly. Anyone else wish to make a comment?
Yeah, well, the point says January 5th. The note of the call says January 6th. Maybe we should, I want to know which is the right date.
Yes, thanks, Yaf. It is the 6th, and I'll make sure to update Robert's PowerPoint before posting it to the wiki and as a final document.
Great. So thank you all. We've gone through.
Thanks.
Go ahead, please. There's another comment someone wanted to make.
No, I just say thanks for the correction.
Yes, indeed. So again, thank you all for conversation. We do have a little bit of more time, but we seem to have gone through the agenda for the meeting. Look forward for everyone participating in the call tomorrow. Please do comment on some of the items that were mentioned for discussion on the list. And we'll do an additional update. And so I thank everyone for everyone's time and seeing everyone again on January 6th at the time. And Grace will send that to us as well. She hasn't done so already, so we have that in our calendars. I thank all, and if we don't speak before the new year, my New Year's greetings to you all.
Nicely done. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Robert. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.